That music means it's time for another radio road trip along the Great Wagon Road, our series exploring the history of the Charlotte region with Tom Hanchett of the Levine Museum of the New South.
Lay around my shack, let me rain come back, and I'll always my sweet baby's arm.
Today, our road trip takes us north on I-77, just a bit to Huntersville, where an extraordinary piece of American history is hidden in plain sight. It's a monument to one of America's great forgotten philanthropists and of white-black partnership in the Jim Crow South. Here's reporter Emily Harris.
If you're driving down Samfer Road, it's easy to miss the single-story white building with big oak trees out front. For 65 years, the building has been home to the Burgess Supply Company, a carpet store. But the building itself is much older than that. It dates to a time before subdivisions and SUVs defined Huntersville, a time long before concrete and steel came together to stifle the flow of the Catawba River and create what we now call Lake Norman. Tom Hanchett, staff historian at the Levine Museum and our guide along the Great Wagon Road, says the white single-story building with the large floor-to-ceiling windows was once the Caldwell School.
When this school was built in 1923-24, this was farmland. And the main people working the land were African American tenant farmers.
At the turn of the 20th century, African American children in poor rural areas like Huntersville didn't have many options for formal education. Many were only one or two generations beyond slavery when many African Americans were forbidden to learn to read or write.
Education became a route out for Southerners, for African Americans. Without that, you were stuck.
At that time, white school boards controlled black schools, but Hanchett said they were reluctant to spend a penny they didn't have to on the African American schools.
And so Rosenwald and Washington put together this matching grant program.
Washington, as in Booker T. Washington, the author, orator, activist, and educator who founded what became Tuskegee University. Julius Rosenwald was a white businessman from Illinois that turned a mail-order watch company into a household name.
He was the guy who built Sears Roebuck into the world's largest retailer in an era when retail was mostly a general store at the crossroads.
Both men had something to gain by educating poor Southern blacks. Washington realized
feeder schools were needed in order to make a black college work.
As for Rosenwald,
he realized that if African Americans were left behind in this South, that it would be bad not just for them, but for everyone.
Rosenwald's business acumen made him rich. That money allowed him to be a philanthropist. And as a Jew in early 20th century America, he knew prejudice. So Rosenwald partnered with Washington to create those matching grants for African American communities that wanted to build new schools of their own.
Okay, so we've just walked in the main entrance of the store. And Tom, if you can tell us a bit about what we're looking at.
We have high ceilings, big windows that are facing south. There's wainscoting with tongue and groove beadboard around the lower area.
You can hear the history of the original hardwood floors wherever you go. High ceilings kept things cool in an era before air conditioning. Large archways between the rooms had partitions that slid up and down, allowing the building to be opened up into a larger space used for community meetings like fish fries and 4-H.
And we're looking into a cloakroom. And the cloakroom was hard to believe, but a new development, and it was at an era when most private houses didn't have closets. I grew up in a school roughly of this vintage, and I also remember the cloakrooms were the place that I had to go when I misbehaved.
This design was replicated some 5,300 times. Rosenwald schools were built from Maryland to Texas, and North Carolina had the most. There were 26 in Mecklenburg County alone.
Most of them didn't have the Rosenwald name. Rosenwald did not seek fame and fortune in that way.
African American communities and giving circles raised money for matching grants, and the Rosenwald schools were a source of community pride. By 1932, Rosenwald schools could accommodate one-third of all African American children in the South. That same year, Julius Rosenwald died at the age of 69. And by design, so would his charitable endeavors.
He said it would be better to invest my money now in things that I know are needed now to make a better world.
Overall, Rosenwald spent more than $4 million on these schools. Eventually, public schools were desegregated and consolidated, which offered more opportunities for students, with bigger libraries and labs. Rural places became less rural.
These Rosenwald schools are a link to an emotionally powerful past.
And as development moved in, many Rosenwald schools were lost. But a handful survived, a tangible reminder of how education can tie a community together. For WFAE News, I'm Emily Harris.